It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru...
Kaiser Soze!
No, that's Matthew Soze.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yeah.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Soze.
I talk over.
Limited. Corbett, Corbett, everybody know Corbett.
Hello there, film lovers, and welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. Also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soce. The show is available as a podcast, also available on iTunes, and we have our Phoenix Level Rising blog, which you can check out at
filmsociology.tumblr.com.
The man who's known as Kobe. I'm Big Brother. Yeah. He's little brother. Give me the ball. I'm gonna dunk it. We also are fans of Aris Spears and his impressions.
And Shaq. Fans of it, yes. Yes. Most genuinely fans of Shaq, yes.
Yeah, fans of Shaq, anyway. Mm-hmm. Gotta get Shaq on the show. Definitely not talk about his movies, but just to talk to him in general. Anyway, the voice over there, that's Kobe Slagle.
Yep.
We have a full house.
We do. I like it when this happens.
It's not a crappy sitcom. But we had, and it's funny, we had, here at Film Sociology, we had moments of networking happening before the show came on the air. So that's good. From Upland Brewing, we have Carrie Crow. How are you, dear?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I can't hear her. Turn her up or put Curtis down. And then from Truly Moving Pictures in the Heartland Film Festival, Tim Irwin and Louise Henderson. How are you?
We're doing good.
Glad to be here.
Yeah. Glad you're all here. Thank you. This has been a busy week for everybody. I know you all have events. We all have events that we're going to be talking about a little bit. But I get to pimp my stuff first. Trip the Bountiful at Mud Creek Players tonight and tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Two more performances with that. So, great opportunity to see the wonderful Horton Foote play, directed by yours truly. Well, we've been waiting for it. You've heard this, regular listeners of Film Sociology, whether it's myself or the gangs from the Film Yap, but there are times where the film critics are just waiting for the grown-up movies to arrive. And
are they here?
They're starting to come. What?
Oogie Loves?
Oh my gosh! I can't believe you brought that up.
Well, it's not quite time for the adult films yet, and I figured we'll go the opposite end of the spectrum.
Well, you know what? Did you see the article in The Onion about
that? I did.
Say what you will. Now, yes, I happen to write for Nouveau from time to time, but I know there's, I guess the local publication of The Onion is still around.
Yeah.
No?
Nah,
it's not?
Around.
Doesn't matter.
No. A couple weeks ago.
You still have The Onion AV Club to read online.
Yeah.
And they have a wonderful column, and I cannot wait to purchase Volume 2 of My Year of Flops, where in the past they talked about movies that just did financially horrible. And then they've moved it on to do other things, but the movie you just brought up, sir.
I'm very sorry.
No, because I didn't even realize that it made less money than Delgo when it came. Is like the biggest box office failure for something that opened over 2,000 screens.
Unbelievable.
And it's an unbelievable. You cannot believe this film was made. And
yeah, who greenlit that one?
People, the guy who created Teletubbies,
marketing visionary behind
marketing. Read it.
Tank Engine
and Teletubbies, yeah. And I mean it's a spectacular read. I'm not ready to rent it.
It was unbelievable.
Exactly. I still haven't seen Delgo yet, which I hear is just wonderfully bad. So anyway, that's worth checking out. But some of the grown-up movies are here. But let's get out of the way. Yeah, there's a new version of Judge Dredd opening today.
Yay. It's cool.
Are you really doing that? We'll get to him.
We were laughing. I thought Tommy could laugh, too.
Oh, Tommy could laugh?
Tommy could
How
laugh.
Does Tommy laugh? Yeah, we'll get... Carl Urban when not doing Star Trek.
See, that's what, yeah. If it, it's not as I feel it's not as fun for guests to be on here if they don't have headphones on.
Yeah.
So we should we get headphones?
Yes.
Why don't you go get headphones? Because you're always jumping in and out of the chair during the show.
Yeah.
While I'm hosting.
Not this week.
Oh, okay.
Last time I was here, you were running in at the last second as
well.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
I just assume that's how it always was.
No.
Oh no no! You think it was like this frantic sitcom farcical thing that comes? We just
we're like
Joan Cusack in Broadcast News, just coming in at the no. We're not always
we'll
that.
Do it live.
Don't quote that idiot. But anyway, I thought I was running late because I just literally came from a screening. But yeah, Dread. It's in 3D. It has Carl Urban. It's not Sly Stallone, and it doesn't have 1990s Diane Lane, so we'll move on. House at the End of the Street, where Elizabeth Shue is the mom and Jennifer Lawrence is the daughter, and a spooky house, okay. End of Watch, which is from the guy who wrote Training Day. He also directed it with Michael Pena and Jake Gyllenhaal and America Ferrera. And my colleague down in Georgia, Jeff Marker, saw it and was actually impressed with it.
It's
so.
Gotten great reviews so far. Ebert was a big fan. And a few other folks too.
So this is his third time as a director. He also did Harsh Times, which I remember the Harsh Time drinking game, because anytime you heard Christian Bale say dog, that's a drinking game right there. And then also it just opened Space Junk 3D, which is going on at IMAX, of course. Searching for Sugar Man, which is what I've heard a very cool documentary. I'll be seeing it tomorrow.
Yeah, we really wanted to see it at Sundance this year. We couldn't get a ticket for it.
I actually knew the story going beforehand. It's about a singer-songwriter from the 70s who put out a couple albums that went nowhere in the States and then became boffo sales in South Africa in the early stages of the anti-apartheid movement. And it's finding out what happened to this guy. Very cool. And you can read Ed Johnson-Ott's review of it in Nuvo this week. And we'll get to the old man who talks to chairs. But first, the latest film from Paul Thomas Anderson. That's what I came driving down from the north side to come back and do the show. Because that's what I do here at Film Sociology. I see the films to talk about them to you. And even if they don't screen us the films in advance, sometimes.
You watch the movies in the movie theaters?
Thank you, Lovey Smith. Yes, we like to review movies in the movie theater.
The Master is the movie I am watching today.
Oh, my gosh. We tend to mix football analogies sometimes, too, when we're doing this show, especially in the fall. But yeah, the latest from Paul Thomas Anderson with Joaquin Phoenix, who, by the way, I guess unretired from his rap career. Philip Seymour Hoffman, who... You know what, Mr. Slagle, you might want to pull up his IMDb page. Philip Seymour Hoffman, Mr. Hoffman.
Okay.
Or I love Phil, if you're really good friends with him, like Meryl Streep. And Amy Adams. So, ladies and gentlemen, you have a slight doubt reunion with Amy Adams and Philip Seymour Hoffman. I want to bring up Mr. Hoffman's career in a little bit, because I was thinking it's been 20 years since I had my first Philip Seymour Hoffman cinematic impression. We'll go through his resume in a little bit. But Kobe,
yes.
This is the time where I'm going to say, here's some audio from The Master.
There will be people on the outside who will not understand the condition you men have. Now upon your shoulders rests the responsibility of a post-war world.
You can smile.
You can start a business. Filling station, grocery, or hardware store. Get a few acres of land and raise some chickens.
You have a break coming?
10 minutes.
If the average civilian had been through the same stresses that you have been through, undoubtedly, they too would have developed the same nervous condition.
You must understand. You want to get the lake back.
How'd I get down here?
You're acting aggressive because you drank too much alcohol.
What do you do?
I am a writer, a doctor, a nuclear physicist, a theoretical philosopher. But above all, I am a man, just like you.
He's been writing all night. You seem to inspire something in him.
What we will do now will urge you toward existence within a group, society, or family.
Good science, by definition, allows for more than one opinion. Otherwise, you merely have the will of one man, which is the basis of cult.
And this is where we are at.
to have to explain ourselves. For what? The only way to defend ourselves is to attack.
You know, you should wake up, Val. Your father's speaking. You might learn something.
He's making all this up as he goes along. You don't see that?
I wonder how he got here and what he's after. Is it really all so easy that he just came across us?
You are an everlasting spirit, Freddy.
I don't believe you. You make this up. I know you're trying to calm me down, but just say something that's true!
Are you thoughtless in your remarks? Do your past failures bother you? Is your life a struggle? Is your behavior erratic? What are you running from?
He's dangerous. And he will be our undoing if we continue to have him here.
If we are not helping him, then it is we who have failed him.
Perhaps he's past help. Or insane.
Well, there you go. Paul, the latest from Paul Thomas Anderson, the master, not Paul W.S. Anderson, who gave us Resident Evil.
I was wondering why there weren't more guns in.
Or Mila Jovovich in this. That's really okay. Let's recap Mr. Anderson's career, shall we? Heart 8, which everybody forgets, and that's a shame because it's a great film. Boogie Nights. Magnolia.
One of the best of the 90s, I think, still.
Agreed. Punch Drunk Love. Which still irritates Sandler.
I hated that movie.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Not because it wasn't a typical Adam Sandler film, or just in...
Oh, no, I'm not an Adam Sandler
fan just checking.
At all.
Because the people that were in the screening for me were livid that it wasn't The Waterboy, and I couldn't laugh at them hard enough.
That would have been funnier than the movie. I mean, that was not that the movie was supposed to be
funny. That's a minor one. And then There Will Be Blood, which I loved. Mm-hmm. This is a hard... That's a hard... act to follow is There Will Be Blood. No, by the way, this film, not based on Scientology. Not at all. Nope. Mm-mm.
I'm pretty sure the news told us that several times.
I think so. And I think Mr. Anderson's kept a Terrence Malick-like response to that by not saying anything. So as you heard, you have Joaquin Phoenix, who has the Heath Ledger talking off the side of his face and Brokeback Mountain thing going in this one. Guy who comes back from the war, trying to get his life in order, not happening, and he comes across a very charismatic leader, played by Philip Seymour Hoffman, Mr. Hoffman, and his lovely wife, Amy Adams. If you listen carefully, Mike Perry's really upset. He's the Amy Adams correspondent here at Film Sociology. The thing I can say about it, and like I just finished watching it an hour ago, is it's not just about Scientology, I think. It's about any form of organized religion, spirituality, self-help group. And I think this is a film where whatever your path is, I think you're going to take whatever you have of your own past out of watching the picture. And also you're going to find out if your glass is your cup is half empty or half full. Kobe, what's my cup say?
Haterade.
And is it half empty or half full? Either way, I make fun of it, right? So,
yes. Will you also find out if your cheese fell off your cracker on this movie?
We will not talk about what we cannot talk about that translation on the radio. You know that. But they'll find out during the break because that's what we do with our guests when we tell them inside jokes they have no clue about. So there is that aspect of it. If you enjoy watching, and there's also a bit of you watching, especially watching Hoffman on when is he going to let his guard down? When is he going to lose it? And he does that, but to a lesser degree than one expects. In some cases, one hopes.
The milkshake scene?
No, there are no milkshake scenes. But what's cool is that the couple of outbursts that Hoffman has, it's not cartoonish. I mean, I think the bowling pin scene at the end of There Will Be Blood just really rides a razor as far as going one way or another of being, you know, riveting or cartoonish. And it's not as daring, but there's a couple of moments, like I said, where the Hoffman character has a run-in with the law, and there's a reporter who questions him and finally drops the C word. That would be cult, folks. And you're interested to see how he handles it. Does he get his dander up? But Hoffman's really good in this. And Amy Adams has a new, and this is the second Amy Adams film I've seen this week, but That's another woman whose IMDb page we'll have to check, because she's had a really, really incredible range of stuff that she's been doing in the last decade. Joaquin Phoenix is fine. You know, I'm glad to know he's not in retirement anymore, and he stopped doing documentaries. And you know, I got my beard back from him. Thank you. Not the most likable character, and that's just to give you a heads up. I mean, we've watched films before in which the lead is, you know, an insufferable D-bag. I don't think he's quite that in this, but it's a guy with no direction, and this is also, if you're familiar with the Anderson films, another one where you're trying to find a family somewhere. He does this in Hard Eight, does this in Boogie Nights, sorta in There'll Be Blood.
All over the place in Magnolia.
All over the place in Magnolia, exactly. So, I liked it. I don't think it's the best Paul Thomas Anderson film. I should probably review this again next week after it's sank in a little bit. But I like Anderson's work as a filmmaker, and it's more subtle than I thought it would be, and for me, it doesn't sharpen up its knives against organized religion or self-help, and that's okay. I think what he accomplishes with the film is reward enough. So, Cove, do we have a...
It's also an art film.
It is an art film. It's actually shown at the Art House Theater. Thank you. All right. The real reason why we think Clint Eastwood actually spoke at the GOP through an empty chair is because, well, he had a film that opened today, and he had to promote it. And who's going to stop Clint Eastwood from going from 5 minutes to 12 in front of millions of people? It's called Trouble with the Curve. And this is, here you go, trivia buffs. This is the first film in almost 20 years that Eastwood acted in but did not direct. Can anybody name the last film? I actually know this because I host the show. Anyone? Any guesses?
20 years.
Any guesses? Well, this gives Kobe time to maybe pull up the trailer.
Yes.
Yep. Okay.
I'm at a loss.
I am too.
In the Line of Fire, directed by Wolfgang Peterson.
Yeah.
This one is a gentleman who was an assistant director on several of Eastwood's films and also a producer. So
that was the connection. First-time writer, first-time director. How did he get all these stars in Trouble with the Curve?
He's worked with Clint Eastwood for quite
that
a while.
Makes
a whole
lot of sense.
So we have Clint Eastwood, and of course, I love cinematic gene pools. I wish we could have seen pictures of the woman who plays his wife, because, you know, his daughter's Amy Adams. Way to go there. Justin Timberlake, John Goodman, Matthew Lillard, and Ed Lauder.
Robert Patrick, right?
Robert Patrick's in it. So it's one of those films, I think, no matter how big or how small the part, if you had an opportunity to do a movie with Clint Eastwood or do a couple scenes with Clint Eastwood, you kind of say yes.
Yeah.
So are you ready over there, sir?
I got it.
All right, here's Clint Eastwood not talking to empty chairs.
Gus, you home?
No.
I guess that means I can come in.
Damn it. Son of a bitch.
Some new kind of style I'm not up on?
That's Feng Shui, don't you know anything?
Gus Loeb is one of the best scouts baseball's ever seen. The guy that signed Dusty Baker, Dale Murphy, Tom Glavine.
Gus Loeb.
Well, what are you fellas staring at? I'm not a pole dancer.
Welcome to the partnership committee.
I want this.
You'd be the only woman.
My father is a baseball scout. I grew up around men who swore, drank, and farted.
Get me a damn check.
Trust me, I can handle it. You need to meet with a specialist. How are you going to scout this guy if your eyes aren't right?
I don't need your help. I don't know why you just don't go home.
Because I feel this dysfunctional sense of responsibility to make sure that you're okay.
Hold on!
How old was Mickey when
my mother died? 6.
How'd you handle all that by yourself?
I didn't.
You sent me away. Only a coward leaves their kid.
Well, you don't know half of what you think you do.
Just know you're not alone.
Hey, you want to dance?
Not really.
Come on, one dance. That wouldn't hurt anything.
All right. Get out of here before I have a heart attack trying to kill you.
What do you think about dinner?
You mean together?
It's a little forward, don't you think? But yeah, if you're asking me out, I accept.
Drafts in 9 days. I don't want any surprises.
Gus is struggling.
He's going to be out of a job.
I'm just a broken down old man. You want to get as far away from me as you can. Game's changed. Gus couldn't even turn on a typewriter, let alone a computer.
You don't know anything about the game.
The computer can't tell if a kid's got instincts.
You know too much about baseball to be a lawyer.
It's a long story.
I'd like to hear it.
I don't want to tell it.
Coming in?
You are crazy. Woo!
I just didn't
doesn't want you to have life in the cheap seats, Cecil.
I want the cheap seats. Spending every waking moment with my dad watching baseball. Those were the best seats in the house.
Still single, aren't you?
Maybe you are emotionally unavailable.
Who are you, Dr. Phil?
Hey, that is quality television.
Yeah.
As we were talking off air, no, we're not telling that story. But yeah, the gruff voice, the Clint Eastwood gruff voice, first popped up in Heartbreak Ridge back in 1986 when he played the old grizzled Marine. And of course, Million Dollar Baby, Gran Torino, his voiceover work in the trailer for Mystic River. And I understand why he's doing it because, well, if you heard him at the GOP, I mean, he's 82. His voice is softer and he can still make that voice. So, you know, it's letting you know that it's halftime in America. We're in the second half. So, now, full disclosure, Trouble with the Curve did receive a...
a Truly Moving Picture Award winner.
It's truly moving.
Yeah,
so I'm
excited about that.
Very good. Congratulations. And now here's my review. So the opening scene... And there was a lot of talk that people thought Eastwood had retired from acting with Gran Torino a couple years back. And, of course, a lot of people thought he had retired previously with Million Dollar Baby, which I think a lot of people, including yours truly, wish he had done. Now, because I loved Million Dollar Baby, and as it turned out, Gran Torino, which I still remember, Ed Johnsonot from Nuvo called it an R-rated after-school special. But he's quite good in Torino. Torino, for me, he retired his tough guy image just like he retired his Western image with Unforgiven. Well, he, of course, did this... apparently is a favor for a colleague, and he in this time gets to kind of poke fun at his old guy persona, which he's been doing for a while. I mean, Million Dollar Baby, Space Cowboys, Bloodwork, you know, all the other pictures that he appeared in. And of course there is that truly moving opening scene of Clint Eastwood talking to a member of his body that's not doing his business fast enough. Once, for me, the beginning and the end, once we get the story started, it's fine. There's a little, you know, yes, he growls and he, you know, tells people that he doesn't tell people to get off his lawn, but he kicks furniture and he can't cook and he doesn't have a computer.
Is he curmudgeonly?
He is very curmudgeonly. It makes me look, you know, optimistic by comparisons. But yes, he's a scout for the Braves and he's, you know, the eyes are going and the ears are going and he... You know, his buddy John Goodman talks his daughter, played by Amy Adams, to go with him on a trip for checking out a first round draft pick. Once it's just about father and daughter and Justin Timberlake showing up and actually doing pretty good stuff, that's more interesting to me. There's a couple of low hanging fruits like the Matthew Lillard character. Guess what? Matthew Lillard plays a D-bag again. Surprising, since Scream. Which has been, what, 15 years ago?
Yeah, 15.
That dude's 40. He's 40, and he looks 10 years younger. So, you know, take that and keep working with it. But, yeah, he's the young guy who makes fun of Clint Eastwood for not knowing how to turn on a computer. So, corporate jerk. And then you have a ball player who's also a raging D-bag, but can hit the ball. And then we find out there's a big secret that comes to his hitting ability, thanks to Amy Adams and to Clint.
The title has anything to do with that.
It could be. I've also heard people say this is kind of Clint Eastwood's way of thumbing his nose at Moneyball, when it's just about your gut and your ears and your eyes, even if though your eyes and your ears are failing and your daughter's smart and beautiful like Amy Adams. So, but the relationships between Eastwood and Timberlake. Timberlake plays a former phenom who was signed by Eastwood and then blew his arm out, thanks Red Sox, and he becomes a scout on his own. And the relationship with father and daughter are pretty strong. The last time Clint's really gone toe-to-toe with a woman was Million Dollar Baby. So, so that part of it for me is more interesting. Good, you know, John Goodman shows up and does a couple of nice scenes, and capturing the small town. There's a team back in Richmond, the Richmond River Rats, and you know these are college kids playing organized ball on their summers off, and that's kind of what the Clint character is doing, going around North Carolina, even though this was filmed in Georgia. So we get a little comedy over being crabby old man and good father-daughter relationship. And then, yes, the battle between computers and cybermetrics and just knowing in your gut what's right. So It's not groundbreaking. Is it Clint Eastwood's last film as an actor? We don't know. He won't. Nobody will dare ask him, especially since we've been wrong twice already. But it's good to watch. I actually wound up liking this film more than I did.
Now that was a good movie.
It was. So, that being said, I think we're going to take a break, and we'll talk about what is new on DVD and Blu-ray, and we'll talk with our guest. And we do have Into the Archive, if we have time, as well as Dead People We Like, because we don't have time for Dead People We Don't Like.
We don't.
And well, eventually we will have What Is Kobe Watching, the long, long-awaited segment, the battle for Kobe's cinematic soul. It's when he actually watches a movie and talks about him. Maybe next week. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org.
Good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs.
You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So, do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store!
Blockbuster Video! Wow, what a difference!
Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoci@WFYI.org, also on Facebook, also on Twitter at Matthew Soci. Carrie from Upland Brewing and Tim and Louise from Heartland Film Festival are here. We'll get to them in a little bit. A couple other film notes opening today. Opening today at two theaters in town, Samsara, which I've heard is supposed to be a wonderful overindulgence of the senses.
It is one of the most amazing movies of the year. It's another Truly Moving Picture Award winner. We actually had a screening of it at the IMA last Friday. It was a sneak preview screening, sold out because we could only allow a certain number of people in. Just, it is a beautiful, beautiful film.
5 years, 25 countries, and it's, you know, if you're fans of Kainakwatsi or it's...
Baraka.
Don't go in for story. Just go in for strictly visuals.
And it is amazing. I had a chance to interview the director. There's an interview at trulymovingpictures.org. And they shot it all on 70mm. They did an 8K scan of it, if you care about the technical side. And then they have gorgeous prints of it. It is the most beautiful film of the year.
Wow.
And probably in my top two or three so far.
All right. So that's also here. As well as Diatropia, which is going to be shown on the 24th at Hamilton 16 IMAX.
Another great film. Really beautiful.
Yeah. It's just an interesting film, and I've heard people say, well, it just kind of leaves you. But, you know, I mean, there are no solutions yet that anyone's figured out for Detroit, and it just sort of takes you on a tour and shows you some areas of hope, but that there's don't also even, problems.
Kobe,
don't
you,
even.
You
don't want, even.
You want to chime in on this? You, it seems like you had a suggestion.
No, I just looked
Detroit
over
better.
And you. I looked over and you caught my eye and you had this smirk on your face like
nope.
You were going to throw up the number three.
Nope.
To remind me of something.
You just did it for me, so
yep.
Thank you.
Yep. There it is. There. See, I don't even know why. I don't even know why. I'm cutting the mic off.
Great. I grew up in Flint, Michigan, folks, so I'm the obnoxious Detroit
the
sportsman.
Flint, Michigan. The...
All right. I only do that for my alma mater. I accidentally dropped it earlier on another place, so I say the Ball State University because I think Columbus, Ohio lost
it
their
is...
the privileges.
No, it is the Ohio State University.
If you're into neck tattoos for free. All right.
I hope my wife's not listening.
Really?
And my husband.
Yeah, that's
go
lovely.
Blue.
I'm sorry, were they both on the team?
All right, we're done talking about films.
It always gets back to sports griping on film sociology. All right.
I went to a small liberal arts college. I have no dog in this fight.
That's all right. My wife went to one of the Big Ten schools. She doesn't either. So, all right. New on DVD this week, which is turning out to be, I didn't think I could find a bigger pleasant surprise of a movie since bigger than 21 Jump Street, but I actually did. And I'm so glad I knew very little about. Yes, sometimes, even though a movie comes out and it's, you know, my job hosting film sociology, there's certain films that I just maybe didn't know about or didn't want to know about. And it's really hard sometimes for a critic to go in and watch a movie knowing very little, if not anything, about the picture. And I was really glad I knew nothing going in about Cabin in the Woods.
You just now saw Cabin in the Woods?
It happens. It happens. I was directing a play. I missed the screening. I reviewed something else that opened that week. It happens.
My favorite film of the year alongside Samsara. Totally different, but they're both amazing.
Definitely different. So produced and written by Josh Whedon, who's...
Josh Whedon.
Who, by the way, had a good year. Pretty
good
year.
Good year.
I think he's fine. And, of course, his other movie, that small art film, comes out on DVD and Blu-ray next week. So, golf clapping from Carrie, that's good. So, this is a film that, well, I don't want to give it away, but even though it's on Blu-ray. So, but I'll say this. I was not a fan of the original Scream. And part of the reason why I wasn't a fan of the original Scream, and even less of its sequels, is, yes, you can talk about the rules of a certain genre, but when you're still stuck in them doing those dumb things, I don't care. So... But what Cabin in the Woods does is it takes the horror genre and puts a twist on it, thankfully with the use of Bradley Whitford and Richard Jenkins, who are used marvelously in this film, and puts it on its ear and talks about things that people have been talking about in the theater and yelling at the screen, and stuff that we've talked about on the way home from seeing these slasher movies since the 1970s. You know, your post-Halloween, Friday the 13th slasher stuff. But on the flip side, you also get everything that you want of those. The dumb high school kids going out to the title of the movie. You have the lunkhead, the pothead, the woman who apparently cannot wear pants when searching for things. And, of course, you know, running three steps and falling. All of those are play in, but with a really smart twist. And goes into the second half of the film especially, goes into... such a out of nowhere shift. It kind of ranks right up there with From Dusk Till Dawn, as far as
there's a weird mythology that's created, and it's you can't say anything more
and
about
people
it.
And people who know the mythology are going to really dig this. So yeah, I was really really surprised by this, and really really happy that I got to see it. I'm kind of bummed that I didn't see it with a crowd full of screaming lunatics, but you know you can't have everything. So Cobb.
Wow, that'd be some good filming there, Mr. Soci.
Wow. Yeah. That's always good. Also in theaters this week, a film that ran much longer at Landmark than I think a lot of people had anticipated, The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel, which I always dubbed as Enchanted April meets Slumdog Millionaire. So you have some really wonderful actors, Tom Wilkinson, Judi Dench, Bill Nye. Who am I missing?
Maggie Smith,
thank you. Yeah, woof, different thing for Maggie Smith. As English tourists who wind up staying at the title of the movie with the kid from Slumdog Millionaire running it, and it's everybody has their own path, their own storyline, and of course their lives change when going on vacation, especially Maggie Smith, Mike, who's completely just a really horrible person at the beginning of the film. So And it's directed by John Madden. Not that John Madden, Kobe. Shut up. But the guy who, of course, gave us Shakespeare in Love and Killshot and Proof. So a combination of beautiful locations and mentioning it's still India. So there's, you know, they got a long ways to go. But good stories. It's a light, breezy couple of hours. Probably could have been tightened a little bit, but everybody has a story to tell, and everybody had to have their little stories wrapped up in a nice little package by the end. So that's worth renting.
Now that was a good movie.
We also have Chico and Rita, which is one of the Oscar-nominated films from last year. Kobe's.
I've wanted to see this since I first heard about it
and
years ago.
And you want the score, which you can use on your brand new show.
Yep.
Go ahead and play. Go ahead, plug it.
The Cool Down, Saturdays at 7 on HD2, beginning October 6th.
And what is The Cool Down?
Cool Down is a show, weekly program, hour-long, showcasing the music of Brazil.
Brazil.
Yep.
Cool. So
and also, big news for Film Sociology 2 coming up in October, wherein we will be repeated.
Which, at what time are we repeating?
I don't know.
Go to WFYI.org. Boy, it's a good thing we're not going to just go in and do the same show or do a different show. You never know.
You got to listen both days.
You got to listen both days. We might just come in and do a second live show. It's possible.
We could do that.
We could do that. That's terrifying. All right, moving on. The kids film correspondent enjoyed this film, and actually I wound up not seeing it because I think I felt better that mom took her to see this as opposed to the 40-year-old dad. Katy Perry, Part of Me.
You're fine missing that one. I did see it for some reason.
And what is that reason, Katy Perry?
We'll get into that later, maybe.
Ooh! Well, and apparently it's a standard concert documentary, except for the tiny moment where she acknowledges that she's no longer with a guy that is on Kobe's hate list.
And then she cries.
And then she cries. But she's still, then, the show goes on.
And it's in 3D. And there are some shots that are definitely in 3D.
Yeah.
And then it's...
Were there childless men in the audience watching this as well?
No, I don't think so. Not in my particular screening.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Kobe, you all right over there?
Yeah.
Okay. It's in 3D.
And some of it is very much so in 3D.
And Russell's not in it, so...
Russell's not in it.
And it's a better movie because of that.
I would have been curious to see his side of the story, even if he just rambled on for... I mean, it's very much her side. And I'm sure he has a side.
He has all sorts of sides. I think he was too busy making Arthur at the time. I'm just guessing.
I hope so.
Dude, that was terrible. I saw that. That was part of my Kobe Saves Hollywood tour.
Why did you see that? You don't like him.
I don't.
Bianca? Do you blame her?
No, this was before. This was before Fair Sweet and I met.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Then why in the hell did you see it if you don't like him?
A friend wanted to go see a movie. There wasn't anything. It was like February. There wasn't anything else planned.
Did you pay your friend back for making you go see this?
No, I've not.
Are you saving it?
Well.
Oh, you're saving it. Say you're saving it.
Oogie Loves.
God. I don't think that's even in theaters anymore. I don't. I don't think it is. It might not.
I think the prince withered and died out of shame.
Shame and agony. All right, let's actually get back on rails, sort of. But speaking of truly moving pictures, there is a truly moving picture that came out on DVD and Blu-ray this week, and Rob Reiner's on a hot streak. This is two in a row now for him. The Magic of a Belle Isle. Which is out with Morgan Freeman and the visually stunning Virginia Madsen, and very small roles by Kevin Pollak and Fred Willard. Fred Willard's in this. He's got a couple scenes. There's a face painting scene. So why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, it's Rob Reiner's, I think, is his sixth Truly Moving Picture Award winner. We had him out here in Indianapolis a couple years ago for the premiere of Flipped, which was really exciting. And this was another a bit of a smaller film that he made. It went to VOD first, I think, and then had a bit of a theatrical run. We were really excited to be able to be a part of it as well.
And, if I remember right, Morgan Freeman plays a writer. He's in a wheelchair. He's not happy. He's not.
Yeah, he is not going.
He's not Clint Eastwood grabby, but, but you know, they did Unforgiven and Million Dollar Baby together. So he goes to Belle Isle, and he winds up living next door to Virginia Madsen, which, you know, is a script I've written many times in my head, but not with this result. Why y'all looking at me? And of course, she's got three girls, one of which is the girl from Flipped, and they wind up learning a few things off each other, if I'm remembering correctly. So, So that is also out. And we'll shift gears and mention that Hysteria is out on DVD and Blu-ray. Yes, a nice artful film about the making of the first vibrating object. Yeah, that one. Carrie just looked up. Are you really saying that? And it's with Maggie Gyllenhaal, but it's not Secretary. Not even close. It's a film that's it. Watching it, it looks like an SNL skit. It has the tone of an SNL skit where they make their own, you know, masterpiece theater, but they use a very low-hanging fruit object like, well, the vibrator. And, yeah, I checked with my bosses. I can say that in the context of this review. So, yeah, there's an art film about the making of the first vibrator, and Maggie Gyllenhaal's in it, but it's not really that amusing or fun. So there's that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we go to the Blu-ray section, and I ask the question.
Yes.
You like this? It's like
I do like
it's,
this.
It's
I
like
mean, most of the time it's stuff that I've never heard of or seen, but
because I bring up the old titles.
Yeah, but it's like I feel like it's a small victory for me when there's something I know and that I would buy.
And this is why we have to have a new version of What Is Kobe Watching sometime soon. So here's the question for him. Would you buy this on Blu-ray? So we'll start with Indiana Jones: The Complete Adventures.
Absolutely.
Yep. Yes.
Okay.
So
especially since my husband just bought the Star Trek Next Generation first season,
so
I get Indiana Jones complete series.
Okay, now now are we still doing with the original titles, or is Paramount and Spielberg tagging on Indiana Jones at the beginning of all the titles,
like Raiders of the Lost?
Indiana Jones and Raiders of the Lost Ark. Which
I don't know what you just said.
I don't know either. I don't either. But you know what? There's a DVD with that title. I don't know what the hell they're talking about. So
Whiteout.
What?
Get your copy. Just put a sticker on it. White it out.
White it out. Watch it in a refrigerator.
Yeah.
So, sorry. So anyway, that is out. So it's. I think it was like all four and lots of special features. So
sweet.
That is out.
But
there.
You said all four. I might change that to a don't buy.
Oh.
You know what? Crystal Skull is growing on me. I hate to say it.
Really?
It's taken multiple views. But it's growing on me. It's not getting so annoying. I think
he's too old for this stuff.
He's getting old, but I think Kate Blanchett kind of helps smooth it over a little bit for me because I'm a big fan.
She's also looking for a moose and squirrel.
Yes. But it's growing on me. Is it at the bottom of my list of all four of them? Yes, definitely. But do I still watch it when it comes on TV and I'm flipping through the channels and like, oh, I'll stop on that? Of course I do. So.
And then, so I mentioned that because I know what Kobe has been watching recently. Kobe, you have to watch the South Park episode about Crystal Skull. That's okay. That's all I can really say about that. All right, moving on. This I'm already saying yes on this one. It's my favorite Tim Burton film, Ed Wood.
Yes. Not seen it.
Yes. Yeah. Academy Award for Martin Landau, and well deserved, and a Valentine to schlocky filmmaking.
I hesitated because it's not. I don't think of it as a particularly visual film, being so.
But it's
so
beautiful,
black and white,
and the other thing is, of course, because we're public radio. I can't get the big bucks, but you know, it's gotta have some features that I've not seen before. So
that's true.
You know,
and those would be worth checking out.
Yeah, I think so. Okay, sold separately. Halloween 2 and Halloween 3, Season of the Witch.
Halloween 2, Rob Zombie, or...
No, Halloween 2, first Jamie Lee Curtis in the hospital, and Donald Pleasance screaming in his overcoat.
No, thank you.
That's, okay, no. That's out.
No. That's it? That's the movie?
That's kind of basically it. Halloween is such a monumental horror film, which you'll never watch, Cobe. But nope. But yeah, Halloween 2 kind of made quickly on the fly, and of course Halloween 3 had nothing to do with 1 or 2 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 7.
Was that the one with oh my god, his name is
Tom Atkins?
No, there was one with usually comedy, and now of course I cannot get in my head.
Which is great on live radio, but go on.
Yeah, sorry, no. There was one that I came across that had nothing to do with any of the other ones.
Yeah, that's Halloween 3.
Okay, is it okay?
Yeah, the Silver Shamrock Mask for, I saw it in the theater. What a bad evening.
Did you ask for a refund?
No.
You should have.
No, I don't do that. I don't believe that 30 minutes, the thing of you know, if you're in for 30 minutes, you get your money back. Nah, horse pucky, you just don't.
So I look at you and go, sucker.
Well, probably, but you know what? You learn and you try again next time. So, or of course, remember the late Gene Siskel always said, walk out, take your time back. You may not get your money back, but take your time back. So, The Devil's Advocate, a film that makes Cape Fear and Angel Heart look subtle by comparison with Everyone's favorite Southern lawyer, Keanu Reeves, and everybody's favorite devil, a screamy Al Pacino.
Yeah, no, oh, yeah. No on that one. No. Pass.
I would consider it if I got it in the $10 section at Target.
I would consider it if I had about half a growler of Double Dragonfly in me while watching it. Because yeah, I know that can happen.
I'm
but
not even sure that time. Isn't it a ridiculously long movie?
You it's you know what? It's right about. I think it was like 2:15.
See, you said 2 anything. That's terrible. Horror movie. That needs right. to be 90
but
minutes how, or less. And
I think so. But the 6-minute monologue by Al. That's some fine chewing right there. And of course, Connie Nielsen, a previous film sociology guest.
Ooh.
Yes, she was fun
really?
To talk to. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, actually, I made reference to, because she had a movie out, and I said, so, you know, she had kids that are in their teens. I said, so have any of the kids gone up, classmates have gone to, hey, I saw your mom in Devil's Advocate. And she's like, yeah, but we just tell them we're European.
Did she say if that worked or not?
It works for me, so.
And by the way, the actor I was looking for was Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
Love
Paul,
Paul
Rudd.
Rudd.
I know, but he was in Halloween, The Curse of Michael Myers. And
oh, my
gosh.
It was
so weird. He played, like, the creepiest just dude, and it wasn't supposed to be that way. So.
Well, Crispin Glover and Kevin Bacon were in the Friday the 13th series, so we'll – you're right over there? Okay. We'll get through these. Because it's out in theaters now, the original Judge Dredd with Sylvester Stallone and Rob Schneider's out. Yeah, let's move on. Orson Welles' Macbeth. We're not in a theater. I can say it. I like Orson Welles, and this is one of those films. I think he had to keep stopping production because he'd run out of money, and then he'd do.
Wasn't that every film made after 1958?
All right, yes, but anyway, this one's the one that's not Othello, so that's also out. War of the Roses.
Seriously?
Yes, dark comedy. Danny DeVito and Michael and Kathleen, not liking
movie.
Each other. That's 1989. It's not old. Old. Orson Welles' Macbeth, that's old. A Double Life with Robert Taylor. Hoffa, also directed by Danny DeVito. And finally, Jose Ferrer's Cyrano de Bergerac from 1950.
It'd be worth a second look.
I'm looking at Paul Rudd here on IMDb, and he's got a lot of stuff coming up.
Yeah.
He's constantly working. Do we still have Mr. Hoffman's IMDb page
I
up?
I just had it. One moment, please.
Because it's funny. We were talking about 20 years. The first film I remember seeing him in was he was one of the nasty students in Scent of a Woman, which launched the screamy Al Pacino era of his
they
career.
They gave him an Oscar. Of course he'll keep doing it.
Of course he'll keep doing it. Yes. So,
all right. I got
All right.
Got
start at the beginning.
What's
the first film first year?
1991, he was on Law & Order, also 1991.
No TV, because stick with the movies.
Triple bogey on a par 5 hole.
And then?
My New Gun, Leap of Faith.
Oh, he was in Leap of Faith, the Elmer Gantry film with Steve Martin.
Scent of a Woman.
That's right.
Joey Breaker, My Boyfriend's Back, Money
Ooh,
or Nothing.
Bad film.
The Getaway.
Ooh, the remake, terrible.
Zoolar.
I don't know.
The Yearling.
Next thing I noticed him in was he was in Twister.
When a Man Loves a Woman, Nobody's Fool, the 15-minute Hamlet.
No, he was in Nobody's Fool. That's right. He gets punched in the face by Paul Newman. Lucky guy.
15-minute Hamlet, Heart 8, Twister.
Heart 8.
Boogie Nights. Culture. Liberty, The American Revolution, which was a TV miniseries. Montana, Next Step, Wonderland, The Big Lebowski, Happiness, Patch Adams, Flawless, Magnolia, The Talented Miss Ripley, State and Maine, Almost Famous. Love, Liza, Punch Drunk Love, Red Dragon, 25th Hour, Owning Mahoney?
Owning Mahoney, yep.
Mattress Man commercial.
Sure.
That was a video short.
That's for Punch Drunk Love, yes. Smart guy.
Cold Mountain, Along Came Polly, Strangers with Candy, Empire Falls, TV movie. Capote, Mission Impossible 3, The Savages, Before the Devil Knows You're Dead. Awesome. Yep. Charlie Wilson's War.
He's great in that.
Schenectady, New York.
Schenectady, New York.
Schenectady.
Yes.
Yep. Doubt, Mary and Max, Pirate Radio, The Invention of Lying, Arthur, the TV series, Jack Goes Boating, A Child's Garden of Poetry, Ides of March, Moneyball, Master, Late Quartet, and then we're up to new stuff that he's
okay.
working on.
Okay, not bad. That's not a bad, well, you know, especially the last 10 years, definitely. But, yeah, thank you, Mr. Hoffman. All right. I want to do this, and then we'll talk to our guests a little bit. But do we have the dead people intro?
Oh,
you came
yes.
up with this. So it's a more clever way of saying Hollywood obits.
doing our the annual show of dead people we like.
There's a pretty big one this
week. We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Yes.
And we're going off of Hollywood a little bit, but Steve Sable passed away this week, and he was, of course, the second president of NFL Films. He took over from his dad, who founded the company. So he was president from 1985 until this year. And sports fan or not, watching the highlights, and I've been doing that since I was a kid, watching the highlights of the football games on NFL Films and Inside the NFL and all the stuff on HBO and Showtime, I mean, the evolution of camera use in sports has really come a long way. But it's really exciting to watch these highlights. And, of course, as a kid, we had the voice of God, John Facenda, who I wanted to also he's also on the voiceover dream team. He's Tommy Wiseau, Werner Herzog, Shaq, Charles Barkley. Who else do we have on there?
Walton.
Bill Walton. Yeah, Bill Walton would be great to do voiceover work. So, but anyway, we have a little something. It's just kind of a nod to Steve and his dad and the voice of God. And this is just almost words to live by.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash, with a silver hat about his head, and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
That's awesome.
Isn't that great? We should have pledge breaks like that with the great music. Yeah. Anyway, so thank you, NFL Films. Thank you, Steve Sable. So, Carrie, how are you?
Great. I feel like I'm behind on my movies, but it's been a pretty busy summer.
You know what? We're behind in our beer, so we'll balance it out. So you can see Carrie quite often with the ladies over at 49th and College. Food truck today? Do we have food truck on Friday? Okay. Anyway, that's fine. But the reason why you're here, besides the fact that we enjoy you, your company, and your product, but you have beer and a movie night coming up very soon.
Yes. So what we're going to try this out at the Upland Tasting Room at 49th and College on Sunday, September 30th at noon. We are going to have His Girl Friday playing. So classic Cary Grant movie.
Cary Grant, Rosalind Russell, and Ralph. That guy who looks like Ralph Bellamy. Played by Ralph Bellamy.
So it's $10, and that includes a complimentary beverage of your choice, and it starts at noon. Doors will close at 11:45, so once those lock, you can't come in to see it. So, but it's going to be a fun event. We've got a nice big screen in the back there that we can pull down, and we're going to
give it a shot. Excellent.
Yeah,
cool.
So, yeah.
Now, what's on tap at 49th and College?
Well, we still have some of our Valley Weizen, which is a nice Hefeweizen beer. We also just tapped a new beer. It's part of our Up Cup series. So Up Cup is a homebrew competition that we hold in every summer. We invite homebrewers to come in, submit their beer, and whomever wins gets to brew a full batch of beer with us.
Wow.
So this one is the Malcolm and Margaret 70 Shilling Scottish Ale, brewed by Indianapolis local Andrew Cordy. And we have that pouring right now. So
and
our Oktoberfest, our Oktoberfest beer too.
So you can watch Brave and bring your Lederhosen.
Yes.
So not necessarily at the same time. So well, cool. And we're gonna have you back on next week.
Yes.
And you're gonna bring one of the gang. So
yes.
Always
Sarah,
fun.
Sarah, our manager.
Hey, Sarah.
Is gonna be there. So yeah, we're
very cool.
Excited.
Now, Tim and Louise, you had a busy week because the full lineup was announced. I should mention in the shameless plug department next week. On All Things Considered, you can hear an interview that I conducted with three of the filmmakers involved with three of the films. So
awesome.
You can hear a snippet of that on All Things Considered in the afternoons next Monday, Tuesday,
and Thursday, and then I'll be playing the unedited versions, you know, the longer tracks. That's what we do here at HG2. You can hear the album tracks here on Film Sociology between now and next week. So how's the schedule looking for this year?
Very cool. It's amazing. We had our announcement celebration on Tuesday night and finally announced the full 118 films that we'll be showing at the festival this year, October 18th through 27th. So we have the guidebook with all the information in it. There are, I think, 23 narrative features, 27 doc features. I'll let Louise talk about those because she's a huge fan of the documentaries and our head documentary programmer. And I think we have about 54 shorts and then a good solid program of high school film competition shorts, which are young aspiring filmmakers doing amazing things.
Yeah, so we're really excited. It's been a good year. We had a 45% increase in our submissions this year. So we had over 1,400 films to go through to whittle it down to that 118. Mm-hmm. So we were thrilled to finally tell the world what we're showing this October.
It was one heck of a process, and the filmmakers are excited now. We've been working with them we had notified them a month or two ago, and they keep begging us, when can we announce that we're playing at Heartland? When can we announce?
And now they
hold off a little bit, and then finally, yes, on Tuesday gave them the word, well, Wednesday morning, I guess. Go out there and do what you want. We have a lot of really interesting films this year. I just wanted to talk about one real quick. We have one called I'm Not a Hipster.
Oh, yeah. I interviewed the producer, which you can hear next Thursday.
Perfect.
On All Things Considered.
It's quite a film. We had a whole bunch submitted this year in which people were carrying around parents' ashes and all this angst and all of that stuff. And I'm Not a Hipster was by far the best of those. So I'm really excited that we can bring it to Indianapolis.
Yeah, I'm excited. Our top docs, how do you pick? It's like picking between children. We've got a great one called Rising from Ashes about Team Rwanda, the first mm-hmm. national bicycle team out of Rwanda. And we were contacted kind of out of the blue. Jack Hanna is a real fan of Rwanda, and he is going to bring his animals. And we've moved our Monday, the 22nd of October screening to Pike Performing Arts Center. We're going to have Jack Hanna and his animals, and do a screening of Rising from Ashes.
They're going to introduce cool. the film, which is going to be an amazing night.
Now, yeah. I, you know, when you see Jack, tell him to give me Joan Embry's phone number. Thank you, fans of the Tonight Show.
We'll work on that.
Yeah, I know. it's okay. Quickly, we're going to go briefly into the archives. There's some studios that they put a movie that you can only buy online. Through their only online studio, or as Kobe likes to put it,
yeah, I'll burn it for like $5.
Only in this case, Warner Brothers charged me $20. Because Clint Eastwood had a film open this week, I went back to one of his lesser known films, a 1967 Italian compilation film called The Witches. And this was one with Vittorio De Sica was one of the directors on it. And it's a series of short films, some ranging from 50 minutes, others to five. Still working on. I don't think they're calling women witches, but they are women centric. But the one with Clint Eastwood is, I think, the first thing he did after doing the spaghetti westerns. He plays a fussy businessman whose wife is not getting the attention she deserves, and her fantasy life starts to overcome the film itself. So I think it's interesting that for 1967, when this came out, Eastwood's in glasses and a suit, and he's very fussy and very not supportive of his missus, even though the fantasy sequences, and yes, ladies, you see a little bit more of 1967 Clint than you think you ever would. But there's even just a ridiculous moment where she has a fantasy scene, and they put a cowboy hat and a gun in his hand just to remind people that, you know, he's famous for doing the spaghetti westerns first. So I think this was his last Italian film before he ran to Hollywood and started making Hang 'Em High, Coogan's Bluff, and that sort of thing. So we're checking out. Fascinating, interesting. Like I said, when you have a compilation film like this, some short films are going to be better than others in that case. So plug the website so people can check it out.
That's www.heartlandfilmfestival.org.
All of our films are up on our film guide up there. You can get links to tickets right now are only on sale for members of Heartland Film Society, our brand new membership program. So if you need to get tickets today, which you should, do it and become a member right now. Otherwise, Monday, September 24th, they'll go on sale to the general public.
Yeah, you can join online. You can become a member, or you can wait till Monday, open to the public.
And we'll have more Heartland news between now and October. Carrie, if they can't come to 49th and College, well, they need help. But where can people contact Upland?
Uplandbeer.com. You'll see all of our upcoming events on our website, including our Oktoberfest tomorrow at Military Park.
There you go. Thank you, gang. Thanks. All right, here's some words to live by.
Alan Breed is people! Zardoz has spoken.
Trip to Bountiful tonight and tomorrow at Mud Creek Players. Curtain rises at 8 o'clock. Go see a good movie. You deserve it. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. Lions win this week, will you please?